Let us pray. Father, now as we go into your word, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit of truth and knowledge and wisdom and enlightenment and love would come and fill each one of us, anoint each one of us, and open our hearts and prepare us for the word that you have given to us. That as we look into your word, that we will have a better understanding of who you are and of who we are and whose we are. And may we leave here, Lord, a changed people, more in love, more forgiving, more on fire for you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the one who has changed us, amen. As I've said earlier, this morning we are going to discuss baptism. Can be a pretty controversial subject. We sprinkle. The Baptists immerse. Some go to a lake. Some use a baptistry. Others use a bowl. But baptism, what do we really know about our baptism? Where did it come from? And was the early church baptism as the same as ours today? Lynn gave me a book concerning the Jewish teachings of the Christian faith. And man, I have found this quite interesting, and it has made me really dig in understanding some of the things that we do and why we do them. And baptism is one of those things that I've really dug into this week to say, what are we doing? Why do we do it? Are we doing it the same way that the early church did it? Who were the first Christians, by the way? Jews. They were Jews. After the resurrection of Jesus, where did these Jewish believers assemble? At the synagogue. They would go to the synagogue every morning. For us to grasp the meaning of our faith and really grasp the understanding of some of these powerful things that we do in the church, when you look back at the Jewish origin of these things, it spreads a new light. And I think it will make us appreciate more of who we are, whose we are, and why we do it. Let me give you some background on the Jewish boy's life. I already told you a little bit. The Jewish boy at 5 years old, he began to study Scripture. By the time he was 13, he was considered an adult and would have memorized the first five books of the Bible and would have been extremely familiar with the history books and also all the books of the prophets. At 18, he was ready to marry and begin pursuing his occupation at age 20. At age 30, he became a rabbi, or could become a rabbi. At 40, he could become an elder of the church. And at 50, he was considered full bloom, full of wisdom, and able to counsel with young people. Kind of neat how they put life in stages. So why did Jesus wait until he was 30 to begin his ministry? It was because it was their Jewish tradition. You could not become a rabbi until you were 30. Why did Jesus never claim to be the Messiah? Really interesting. Look at Isaiah 42, 1 through 3. Here is my servant. I take good care of him. I have chosen him. I am very pleased with him. I will put my what? Spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out. He will not raise his voice in the streets. What will he not do? He will be faithful and make everything right. So what this scripture is saying about the Messiah is that when the Messiah comes, the Messiah is going to be so meek and so mild and so gentle and so loving that even if there's a bent twig when he goes by, it won't break off. Even if there is a small flame that's about to go out, he is going to speak so gently and be so gentle that he will not expire that flame. In fact, the rabbis had a saying that if someone claims to be the Messiah, don't believe them. Because the Messiah is not going to come and bring attention to himself. We will know the Messiah by his actions. Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah because he had to present himself in a way that the first century Jew would understand. From all of their knowledge of the scriptures, of the first five books of the Bible, of the prophets and their prophecies, he had to come in a way that they would understand who he was by the fulfilling of these prophecies. He would come as gentle and meek and mild. He would not be flashy. I'm the Messiah. That wasn't our Jesus. That's not our Messiah. That's not who Yahshua was. He was meek and he was gentle. He was mild and he was loving. You see, we miss out on some of these deep meanings of trying to understand. Somebody may say to you sometime, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Why do you believe it? Well, now you know. Now you know because of the deep Jewish roots there that the Messiah would never claim anything for himself to bring any type of attention to himself. That's not who Messiah was. He proved through his actions, his words, and his love. So let's look at baptism. Where did baptism come from? Look at Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the... Let us cling to perfection, not laying again the foundation of... from dead works and of... toward God, of the doctrine of... and of... and of... and of... You see, these six things that are mentioned here in Hebrews, these are the six elementary doctrines that Jesus taught. He taught on repentance. He taught on faith in God. He taught on baptism. He taught on laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Those are the doctrinal foundation that Jesus taught. The Messiah. Those are his elementary doctrinal foundations that he taught. Now, what's going on here in Hebrews is Paul saying, let's go beyond that. Let's mature well beyond that. Let's just not hold on to those six things that is the foundation. Let's grow well beyond that in our relationship with Christ. Now, I want to hone in on baptisms. It's plural, isn't it? The word baptism in Hebrew is mikvah. It means baptismal pool. In this pool, it had to be pure water. There was to be no coloring. The pool had to be in the ground. It couldn't be portable where you move it. It had to be in the ground. It had to be running water. It had to be living. Couldn't be stagnant. Had to be moving. And actually, a river was preferred. And if you had a mikvah that was built in the ground, it had to contain 150 to 200 gallons of water. So here's the deal. According to the Messiah's baptism, which we're going to look at, none of us are doing baptism the way that the early church did baptisms. There is not a single church today that is baptizing in the way that Jesus baptized. But yet sometimes we get hung up all over, do we sprinkle? Do you immerse? Do you dunk? What do you do? Kind of interesting. Now, there's three types of baptisms that Jesus talks about. He talks about the whole body baptism, immersion. He talks about the washing of hands, and he talks about the washing of hands and feet. Those are known as the three baptisms that Jesus talked about and taught. But before you could enter the synagogue, you had to be immersed. If you were poor, you could go to the synagogue. They had baptismal pools, and you could could enter the baptismal pool. You try to say that sometime. The baptismal pool at the synagogue if you were poor. If you were rich, you actually had a mikvah, the baptismal pool, at your house. Now, this is not something where you're dirty and it's a good way to get clean. Matter of fact, there was a video going around not long ago that showed a young man who was really excited about getting baptized. And they were immersing. Obviously, it was probably a Baptist church. But this young man was so excited that rather than entering the water the way a normal person would and step down into the water, he decided to do a running jump and did a cannonball into the baptismal pool. Did anybody see that? It was hilarious. It was really funny. Well, that's not what they did here. They didn't enter the baptismal pool with a cannonball. And they also didn't enter the baptismal pool dirty. In fact, when they got into the baptismal pool, you had to have cleaned your nails, you had to have taken a bath, and you had to have washed your hair before you got into the baptismal pool. You see, the mishpah was used before entering the synagogue, and also, listen to this, and also for anyone who had converted to the Jewish faith. So if you had converted to the Jewish faith, you would go to the mishpah, the baptismal pool, or a river, and you would be baptized into the Jewish faith. Let's look at Jesus' baptism. John 1, 29 through 34. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is the one of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water." And John bare record saying, "Descended from heaven, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That this is the Son of God." Now let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus come to be baptized? It wasn't for repentance of sin. He was sinless. He came to be baptized to begin his ministry and to show that God's Spirit lived in him. Now, let's look at how Jesus would have been baptized. This is really interesting. You ready? First, there would have been a witness. Who was that witness here? John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was the witness. This morning, you may have seen, if you could see the book that Penny was reading from, John the Baptist was actually in the middle of the river, and he was immersing Christ. That's not how it happened. John the Baptist would have stood on the river bank and he would have looked out into the river. Jesus would have entered the river and he would have gone out probably somewhere around chest high. He then would have put his arms straight out and he would have gone under. And what John was doing, John was on the river bank watching Jesus to make sure that every hair of his head went under the water. Then while Jesus was under the water, fully immersed, he would have batted his eyes to make sure that the water also contacted the eyes. He would have opened his hands to make sure that all the water got into every crevice of his skin, and he would have moved his toes in the same way for the same result. Then he would have come up, and he would have gone down again doing the same things. He would have come up. He would have gone down again doing the same things, and he would have come up. That's the way the baptism occurred during the time of Christ. Does that sound like anything we do? Not at all. Not at all. You see, the ritual of baptism was cleaning, but John's baptism changed the ritual from cleaning to repenting of sins and a personal relationship with Christ. You see, baptism to the Jew meant to be cleansed on the clean on the inside as well as on the outside. And the word baptism comes from the word which means to take a piece of cloth, to dip it in dye, and to take it out. The cloth is the same cloth, but now it is taking on the character of that of which it has been dipped in. It is now a part and living a part of the liquid that it had been dipped in. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what that, how precious baptism, the meaning of baptism is? It's like a cloth dipped in dye. It comes out, it's the same cloth, but it is totally changed in character. And it takes on the character of the dye. It has become a part of that of which it was dipped in. Now, the Jews understood that water represented the Holy Spirit. That is why they wanted it to be living water, not stagnant water. It had to be flowing water. Now, also, the early Christians were all Jews. They had been circumcised. They had already been a part of the family of God. Now, when they were being baptized, they were identifying who Jesus was, and it was an essential part of the early church, that covenant community, to understand that they are a part of the promise of Jesus, God in the flesh, that we have forgiveness of sins through him, that we have new life through him, and we have eternal life with him. That's why you and I are called the covenant community. You and I are a part of the covenant community. Jesus had made a promise to us. God in the flesh has made a promise to us, and he says, all who believe in me, you will have forgiveness of sins, you will have new life now, and you'll have eternal life forevermore. Those are the promises that we grasp on. So the early Jew, when he was being baptized into the covenant community, what he was doing is being baptized into the person and in the promise of Jesus, the Messiah. Look at Acts 19, 3 through 4. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto what? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. Paul meets some believers in Ephesus, and he asks them, hey guys, I know that you're believers, but let me ask you a question. How were you baptized? And I said, oh, we were baptized by John. And then Paul says, look, you've got to be willing to be baptized into Jesus, the person and the promise. So today we are baptized into Jesus, the person and the promise, and it's just like that cloth and dye. We take on a new character. We take on his quality, his personality, his demeanor, his life, and his spirit. Baptism is the defining stamp on who Jesus is in our life. Isn't that beautiful? Baptism is the final stamp. And it says, I am part of the covenant community. I believe in Jesus the Christ and his person and his promise. I believe that I have forgiveness of sins. I believe I have new life now because his spirit lives within me. I'm a changed person. And I believe that I have an eternal home with him because he has promised it and I am claiming it. Isn't that beautiful? That's just, that may not get you, but it got me. Now, I want you to look at something else. Look at Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the what? Okay. Now look at Psalm 2:7. Read that to me. Then look at Isaiah 43. Read it to me. Here's John standing on the bank of the river, and he's watching Jesus as he's being baptized. You have to remember that John was a Jew. By the age of 5, he had begun studying the scriptures. By the age of 13, he had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. He was familiar with the prophets and all their prophecies. So here comes Jesus. John is standing on the shore witnessing the baptism. He sees the Spirit of God anointing Jesus. He hears God say, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." He recalls Psalm 2:7, and what does 2:7 say? "You're my Son. Here's my Son." And then he says, John sees a dove coming down from heaven, lighting on Jesus, whom is the Holy Spirit, and he goes back and he remembers Isaiah 42:1, and what does it say? "I have put my Spirit upon him." So John, as he's on the bank, witnessing what's going on with the baptism, he remembers Psalm 27:7, "This is my Son." He remembers Isaiah 42, "I have put my Spirit upon him." He is witnessing that happening at that very moment while he's watching Jesus being baptized, and he had no doubt that this is the Son of God, the Messiah, Yahshua. The Messiah has come. He had no doubts. Do you see how understanding the Jewish tradition and what we do today, how they're linked and how important they are and their meaning? Baptism into the covenant community. The promise of the person, the Messiah, Yahshua. Now, if anybody read my email this morning, what's his full name? Yahshoshan or something like that. Yahshoshua. Yahshoshua. That's like Joseph to Joe, John to Jonathan, Andy to Andrew. Yahshua was his short name. Yahshoshua was his full name. He is the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. He is alive today. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much and thank you. Oh, we thank you so much for your scripture and, Father, being able to understand what this means to us and how powerful our baptism should be to us, that it is the stamp that says, "I believe in Christ, I believe in the person, I believe in the promise, and I believe in my changed position." Oh, we love you so much. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand, please, as we sing our hymn of invitation.